Well, tonight our Thanksgiving devotional is from Psalm 100. And in the heading it says it is a psalm for giving thanks. So let's read starting in verse 1. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And so enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations." Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are gracious and merciful and faithful. You are a good God. We have reason to be thankful because of you. So help us see with eyes of faith your beauty and majesty and be filled with thankfulness. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the past year, as David was saying, we've gone through a lot of change in this church. Our precious pastor, Pastor Rogers, was called by God to move to a different continent. And that was hard. We love Pastor Rogers. He faithfully served this church for many, many years. But God is faithful. He brought Paul, as David was just saying. I don't even know some of those stories. That God is faithful. We've had members leave, members who have moved away and left our family. And sadly, we've had others that have passed away this year. But we've also had new members join our church, a new addition to families. And I got each one of you here tonight, it's probably many examples of things changing over this last year. We've had a marriage this last year. Exactly. But life is ever changing. Right, both the good, the bad, and everything in between, life is always changing. But what is constant, and what I hope we see tonight, is Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are united to him, then there's something that we all share, something that we can all be thankful for, and that's Jesus. And so if you're at the Thanksgiving table tomorrow and someone asks you, what are you thankful for? You can give them this answer. It's simple and yet glorious. It's Jesus. He is the reason that we are thankful. You see, in our passage today, it is in Jesus that we can actually live out what it says. Let's read verse 1 again. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." In Jesus, our tears of sorrow turn to tears of joy. And out of our mouths flow praise and thankfulness, and not complaining and grumbling. And that's because we have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. If we look at the world around us today, you turn on the news or look at social media, there's not much hope. There's evil and wickedness. There's darkness. There isn't hope. But in Jesus, there's hope. We just heard this a few weeks ago. Because Jesus is the light of the world. As Christians, we have a God who has the whole world in his hands. He is sovereign. We have a God, as this passage says, this first verse, that deserves the praise from everyone here on earth. And yet in him, he's made it possible for us to live the way that we were created to be. You see, we were created to praise and to worship with hearts full of thanksgiving the one true living God. And again, that's made possible in Jesus. Let's look at verse 2. You see, in Jesus, we are able to serve the Lord with gladness, to come into his presence with singing. So how does that change in Jesus? Maybe you've read a psalm like Psalm 100 before, or different parts of Scripture, and you say, you know, that sounds great, But did the guy who wrote this had 10 cups of coffee? And he's running in and he's praising God and shouting out, could this be possible for us? And the answer is yes, in Jesus. And we see this in Philippians chapter 2, where we see Jesus, the ultimate servant. This is what Paul says. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so we can serve the Lord with gladness because Jesus, in all humility, came down to earth and died in our place. And I always love this. He joyfully, willingly sacrificed himself so that we could be reconciled to God. Right? The Father wasn't pulling the Son and saying, you have to do this. And he's like, I don't want to. Or look at these wretched sinners. I guess I'm, you know, obligated to save them. But Jesus joyfully did that. He willingly came down to earth as a servant, humbled himself so that we who are sinners could be reconciled to God. So that we could be restored to a new life, a life full of joy and thankfulness, and a life where we can genuinely serve the Lord with gladness. And again, that's the way that we were created to be, a people that serve the Lord with gladness. But the problem we have is sin. Because of sin, we desire to do the opposite, where we want to serve ourselves and not serve God. But yet, true joy and gladness can only come when we live out the way that we were created to be. We were created again to praise and worship God with hearts full of thanksgiving. And Jesus made that possible. When Jesus was on the cross, he defeated sin and the devil. And we were slaves to sin, slaves to the devil. And he removes those shackles, making a way for us to be restored to true humanity. Again, the way that we were created to be. Now, last week, I attempted to make a turkey because tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I had a pretty busy week, and I wanted to do a trial run. And I thought, you know what, this will probably take me about an hour. It did not. So if you've not defrosted your turkey yet, I would suggest that there's a way to do that faster, but I found that out. So I go to the store, I get a bucket, I fill it, defrost it, finally. And then I need to flatten it out and take out the spine. My scissors don't work, my knife doesn't work, so then I go to the hardware store and I get some shears and I finally cut out the spine. And I finally get it seasoned. And I say to Katie, we're not having Thanksgiving, it is canceled. And I was not joking around. So maybe we could still have family over and we can get some turkey from the store. But I'm not doing this. And then finally, I was able to put in the smoker, and after a few hours it came out, and it was pretty good. And suddenly I was excited again. I said, let's have two turkeys, let's make a brisket, let's do all these different things. And you probably experience the same thing. When you do something the way that it's supposed to be done, the way that it's created to be, it's enjoyable. And that's the same thing that we have when we live the way that God created us to be, versus living the way that the world has conformed us to be. Serving God is actually greater than serving ourselves. And that's why it's such great news that Jesus not only exemplified that, but he also made it possible for us to be like him. So how do we look like Jesus? How do we grow in that? Well, Jesus has made a pretty special way for that to happen. It's by spending time with him. Is that such a special Savior that we have who doesn't make it hard and treacherous to follow him or to look like him, but he invites us in to spend time with him so that we can grow to look more like him, to grow in joy and gladness. And that's what we see here at the end of verse 2. It says to come into his presence with singing. And then we jump down to verse 4. And to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. The language we have here is temple and priestly language, right? Entering into his gates and into his courts. That's temple language, priestly language. And that is what is graciously offered to us through Jesus, our great high priest. As our great high priest, we have access to the throne of God. We can approach God in prayer and worship without being worried that he's going to destroy us or to cast us out. Now, if you know, in the Old Testament, the only person who could enter the most inner court, the Holy of Holies, which is God's special presence in the tabernacle and temple, was the high priest. And the high priest could only enter in there once a year. And it was so dangerous that if he approached God in an improper manner, he would die. And so the other priest would tie a rope around his waist just in case, so they could pull him out if he died. And when Jesus was on the cross, the curtain that divided that most inner court and the outer court was divided. It was ripped in two. And that's significant, because it shows that in Jesus, we can approach God in an intimate and personal way. We can actually be in his presence as his people singing, not begging for our lives or fearing that he will cast us out. We can enter the inner court of the Holy of Holies where God resides because of Jesus, because we are united to him. And I think being united to Jesus, union with Christ, is a term that we use a lot. But I think this might be a helpful example to kind of understand what does that mean? What do we mean by that? I think about 10 years ago, my friend and I, we were teenagers, and we took a trip to San Francisco. And we're going to do a race there. And San Francisco is not the cheapest city to be in. And we didn't have any money to get a hotel. So we asked my friend's father, hey, do you have any hotel points? And he's like, yes, I do, actually, at this pretty fancy hotel. And so with his points, he got us a room under his name. Now you can imagine as we walk in, we're wearing sports shorts and tank tops. We're not supposed to be in there. Nobody gives us the time of day. And so we wait in line, and we finally get to the front. And the guy kind of puts his head up, just almost like a face of disgust. Do you guys have a reservation? And we're like, yes, actually we do. And we gave his father's name. And like that, whole thing changed. Oh, Mr. West, I'm so sorry. You weren't supposed to wait in this line. You could have cut to the front. We have food and drinks, and we'll carry your bags up to the room, and the next 2 days for breakfast, we'll totally comp that. Like that, it changed. And they treated us like that because we were as if we were his father. We had his father's name on the reservation. We were treated as if his father was there. And that's the same thing that we have as we are united to Jesus. Right? When the Father sees us, he sees his holy and righteous and blameless Son. Because we're united to Jesus, we can actually be in God's presence. We can actually worship him. We know that he hears our prayers. We know that he has our best interest in mind. Because we are united to Jesus. Because Jesus has made a way for us. And we also see this intimate language here in verse 3. It says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, often the God of the Old Testament, which we know is the same God as the New Testament, but oftentimes the God of the Old Testament is this angry drill sergeant who is very cold and distant. But if you read verse 3, it's not like that at all. I think often when we are tempted to believe that we do not have enough, or that life is not working out the way that it's supposed to, it's verses like this that we can look to and see this beautiful truth. It says, we are made by him, and we belong to him. We are his. We are his children, the sheep of his pasture. There's an intimate, familial language that we have here. We're not just an acquaintance. No, we are his children. Now, I'd say probably like everyone else here, I love the children here at this church. I love being able to do ministry to them. I love being able to jump up and take the vow when someone is baptized. But being fully transparent, which I'm supposed to as a pastor, I would have to say that I love my own two children more. And that's because they are mine. They are my children. And that's the same thing for God. We have a loving Heavenly Father who cares about us more than we could ever care about ourselves. He knows what's best for us more than we could ever imagine. And so we can trust Him even when we can't understand why things are working out the way that they are. Because He is faithful. He is a Father, which is the best Father you can have, that is in control, knows what's best, and is able to do that. Our God is all-wise, all-powerful, and all-loving. And so we can trust Him in that. So I would argue that these are great things and reasons to be thankful. But how do we know that they're going to last? All right, isn't the saying that all good things come to an end? Well, to answer that question, it depends on one's relationship with Jesus. But if one does not have a relationship with Jesus, then yes, all good things do come to an end. But if you do have a relationship with Jesus, if you are united to Him, then the answer is no. You see, we have a strong and sure reason to believe that it will not come to an end. And we see that described so beautifully in the last verse of this psalm. It says this: "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." So I want you to look at that again. Note how it doesn't say that the Lord is good and His steadfast love endures for a while or for a long time. No, it says that it endures forever. Forever, for all eternity. He is forever faithful and good. So why do Christians have a reason to be thankful? It's because of Jesus. It's the greatest relationship, the greatest gift that we could ever have. You see, in Jesus, we can serve the Lord genuinely with gladness, and we can actually enter His presence with singing. In Jesus, we can approach God in worship and not fear being cast out or destroyed. In Jesus, we have assurance in the present and in the future that we are God's children, for His steadfast love endures forever. In Jesus, we have a reason to be truly thankful. So if someone asks you tomorrow what you're thankful for, you can just say Jesus, or you can, you know, recount everything that's just been said here. And even if they don't ask you, what a great opportunity to share why you are truly thankful above all else. And that's because of Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, You are so gracious and merciful and loving. For You sent us Your Son. Your Son who came to this earth, who was a humble servant, obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, so that we who are sinners can be reconciled to You. Oh Lord, You're so gracious, we do not deserve any of this. So help us, Lord, to see Your goodness and mercy. Be a people who are thankful for all that You have done for us and all that You continue to do. We love You, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.